about way back here because came back to Texas A&M the year that we came into the SEC. So it just kind of worked out. But I don't know that that was necessarily a plan early in life. It just kind of worked out that way.
Well, I can speak for myself and Mark Stoops. We both were college teammates, very good friends, and grew up in an environment that, little did I know, came full circle when I came here to Arkansas, because the guy that we learned it from, Hayden Fry, learned it from Frank Broyles. Coach Fry was a young coach on Coach Broyles' staff, and a lot of the things that I've learned since coming here, I realized that I'd learned previously under Coach Fry. So that connection is kind of cool. It just happened to be that, you know, Coach Fry ended up coaching at the University of Iowa. Good coaches really come from anywhere. I think it's really about the coaches that they learned under. It's really fun, as I've gotten older in this profession, to see the influences of coaches and the coaches that they grew up under, and how that affects them. So that's probably more than anything, not necessarily where they came from, but who they came up under. Well, I'm a former Big Ten grad and coached a long time there, but I think the part that is relevant is, you know, just the quality of the teams. It's, you know, I think last week we set a record for playing five straight conference opponents in the top 10. And that's never been done in the world of college football. So I think that probably sets the stage more than just the conferences. It's the quality of the teams and the number of teams that are in this division that kind of stand themselves apart. Got time
because he writes every time. All right, welcome in. Hour two in the zone. Kevin Sumlin talking about his Big Ten connections. And Brett Bielema, same deal. Coach Fry, of course, an old Southwest Conference coach before going to Iowa and having huge success. They were even ranked number one. I remember one of the most disappointing things ever. I was at an Iowa State game, and they announced that Iowa as number one in the country with Ronnie Harmon and Chuck Long, Pigskin back in the day, had lost. And a big cheer went up from those losers at Iowa State, because if you can't rise to the occasion, why not try to drag everybody else down into your own personal hell?
You just described Michigan State's fan base. They're exactly like
and
that.
And look who's riding high now.
Yeah. Michigan's turned into Michigan State, which is the most unkindest cut of all.
Yeah, well, you're about a pitching wedge away from Central Michigan, so watch it.
Yeah.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. What's up, cowboy?
Not much. How are you guys today?
Good. Are you on the move today? What are you doing?
No, that's all taken care of for now, so things are settling down just a little bit, although I do have to pick my mother up at the airport because she's in for the weekend.
Oh, how nice. Well, tell her we said hello.
Yeah, you know, we're having our daughter's birthday party this weekend, so she wanted to come in for it, obviously, and so we've got a busy weekend, even though it's an off weekend.
You say obviously, but you know, it's going to be freezing cold in Fayetteville this weekend, and she lives in Florida, so I don't know how good a deal that is for her. Actually, it's not that obvious to me. If I lived in Florida and my kids lived in a freezing cold part of the country, I'd say, "Hey, screw you! I'll send them a card." But that's me. Your mom's better than me, and a lot of people are.
Listen, I did my job. I told her she better pack accordingly, so we'll see if she did. So,
yeah. My guess is she will not leave the house. Okay, so off week. What do we get from this week?
Well, I think you know, just more really of the same narrative. You know, just is this team going to be capable of picking itself back up after another frustrating and disappointing loss? You know, being able to hang with number one, taking a 10-0 lead, and then not finding ways to win it in the fourth quarter. And, you know, this team's resiliency, there's no doubt that it's tested, I think, on a weekly basis right now. But, you know, they're still trying to remain confident that they're getting closer and closer to that breakthrough. And, you know, are they going to get there? I don't know. I mean, at this point, you'd like to think that they are, but you just don't know, because it's not going to get any easier, obviously, with the LSU and Ole Miss and Missouri.
We did find out, I guess, that we've got a couple of guys getting healthier, and Corliss Marshall, his status is healthier than it was, so that's good news.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's something to obviously keep an eye on. If Corliss Marshall is able to get more involved in the run game, he's able to get more involved with special teams, I don't think there's any doubt. I think we've all seen it. You know, he's got this explosiveness to him that I really think that the Arkansas offense has been missing the last few weeks. You know, so he's got fresh legs. They said they saw it on the practice field. It's pretty evident. And you know, you would think he would after sitting out for 3 weeks. If they can get him involved, I think that's an element to Arkansas's offenses that they could sort, they could really, really use and benefit from. But, you know, again, this is a guy who really, it sounds like he's down to his last chance. So, you know, you've got to do everything you're supposed to be doing off the field. And so I think he can really help Arkansas for the last stretch here. I think that would be a pretty big addition for this team.
Yeah, with all due respect to Keon Hatcher, the kick return game and whoever else they've stuck back there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, it's, you know, if they were the best at it, they would have been doing it in the first place. So that's not their fault. They're doing the best they can. But there's a huge drop off between him and everybody else back there.
Yeah, and I think even the run game has been missing something on the edge. You know, obviously you've got Jay Will and you've got Alex Collins who are pretty good between the tackles and been doing a great job all year. And I know Corliss hasn't really gotten involved that much in the run game. He's only got, what, about 150 yards. But if you can find a way to get his speed, get the ball in his hands, get him out on the edge, and then you mix in the other guys who obviously are very good between the tackles, then I think you've got the potential to have some explosiveness there that they really, they just haven't had lately. So, you know, we'll keep an eye on it. You know, it's easy to say, you know, Corliss Marshall should get more involved in the run game, but I think there's a little more to it than that. So we'll see if they can get him more involved and get him more comfortable with what he's supposed to do in this offense.
Robbie Nyswanger joining us from the Arkansas News Bureau on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Of course, the Hogs off this week. There are many good games though around the SEC and around the country this weekend. We'll talk about more of those coming up in a little bit. Did you get any sort of sense this week as to what Brandon Allen's confidence level is or how he's feeling, I guess, a few days removed, less than a week removed from the costly interception at the end of that game?
I think Brandon's the same guy. You know, obviously he wants to make the plays. He wants to, you know, throw a touchdown pass there at the end, but he also understands that he made a mistake, and it proved to be the last, you know, last gasp for this team on Saturday. So, but I think he's done a good job throughout his career, as we all have seen, of just kind of putting that kind of thing on the back burner moving forward. You know, he understands there's another big test coming against LSU. So his goal, obviously, is to try to lead Arkansas to a win in that game. So, you know, I think he's okay. I don't think, you know, one interception is really going to bother him, you know, to where it carries over. Obviously, it bothers him to throw an interception. He doesn't want to do that. But, you know, I don't think it's going to be anything that lingers now.
Robbie, some games around the SEC this weekend. Of course, no Arkansas, so no stress this weekend for fans. The big one, of course, Alabama-LSU down in Baton Rouge. LSU playing much better the last couple of weeks. Any strong feelings one way or the other on this game?
I'm really interested to see. You know, LSU, I think, has got a chance in this one. And you know, obviously just basing it off of the Ole Miss game, they played a great game. I think their young guys are gaining confidence. I think they're starting to figure out who they are offensively, you know, and that starts with the quarterback position. And obviously, handing the ball to the running backs, that's who they are, that's who they need to be, and they did a great job of it against Ole Miss. So I think they've got a chance against Alabama. In fact, I think they might win that game. So
really?
We'll find out, but I think LSU is a team that's improving at the right time. And maybe that's unfortunate for Arkansas. We'll see in another week or so, but they've gotten much better than they were earlier this year.
What do you think is better for Arkansas, if LSU wins or loses?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if it really matters, because the narrative, I think, next week is going to be how does LSU respond to having to go on the road after such a big game against Alabama? You know, these are young guys for the most part. Are they going to be able to just move past the Alabama game, win or lose or whatever it may be? You know, can they take the, you know, the pats on the back if they win? Can they take the disappointment and the loss and go play another tough physical team in Arkansas? You know, I think it's good for Arkansas if they're catching LSU the week after Alabama, because I don't know if a team is going to be as sharp as they were or are for Alabama. So either way, I think Arkansas, you know, that's going to help them some. Is that enough to win the game? I have no idea. But I certainly think, you know, it's going to be hard for any team, not just LSU, to play Alabama, then have to get up the next week and go on the road and play another tough game.
I will lean heavily on Pat in this one, but Arkansas Central Oklahoma, first exhibition game tonight in Fayetteville at Bud Walton Arena. And those who want to take in some hoops this weekend with no football pressure or concerns, you got that. So are you Have you had a chance to see much, if any, of the basketball team yet?
Yeah, I actually was at the red-white game, red-white scrimmage, and, you know, got to see them in that situation. And, you know, this is going to be a good chance to see everybody on the same side. You know, we haven't been able to see that yet. And one of the things I'm really going to be watching tonight is the point guard play. You know, they're not going to take the ball out of Kai Madden's hands, you know, all year. It's not like he's down at point guard. He's still going to run the point. I think he's still effective there. But the good news is he doesn't have to do it alone like he basically had to last year. So I'm curious to see how Jabril Durham and Anton Beard and, you know, how those guys kind of mix in and how well they work with each other and, you know, how well they relieve each other and, you know, who's the guy that maybe stands out, who's trying to, you know, get some more playing time. You know, that's important for this team. I think they've got all the pieces for a great year. We all know that point guard play was one of the problem spots last year because they didn't have that true point guard, but now they've got a couple guys that can help Kai Madden at that position. So I think it'll be good to see those guys in action tonight for the first time.
Pat, feel free. What's your expectation on who's going to win the point guard spot?
Well, I would imagine that, you know, Coach, I'm not sure what it'd be. He's probably going to go through a number of different starting fives. Mm-hmm. I can see that happening.
Oh, no doubt.
He always does. I mean, he had to do it last year, and I'm sure he's going to do it this year. I can see a situation where he does kind of change it up, and Anton Beard, hopefully he can compete if things happen quick. It's not easy. Listen, we love Anton Beard. We got a chance to see him in high school, and we do love how tough he is and how he plays. But don't forget, this is a kid that's going to be a freshman moving into playing a high Division I level basketball. So there's going to be a transition period with him. There certainly is. So he's going to benefit from this. And we've seen in the past, junior college guys, there is a time where they have to get adjusted as well.
If they're not ready to roll and you have to leave Madden at the point, yeah. What happens to who's his backcourt mate?
With Madden? Well, you still got Anthlon Bell. You know, So he's always looked at as a shooter. But the great thing about Coach Anderson's system is you still can run what he wants you to without having to have that point guard there. Now, you're going to have to, when it comes down to it, have a guy that can get you in something. But that style of pressing and creating an offense and running allows you not to necessarily always have to have that one leader with the ball facilitating things.
Yeah, I was talking to Michael Qualls last week, and he said one of the big things he wanted to work on in the offseason was being able to create as well, not, you know, for himself and for others. I'm not saying he's going to run point guard by any means, but, you know, I think he might have the ball in his hands a little more. It seems like he did a lot of, you know, being on the perimeter and shooting last year and obviously going to the rim. He did a great job at that. But I want to see if he's going to be able to put the ball on the floor more himself, you know, try to get to the bucket, try to dish it off to others, whatever, kick it out, whatever it may be. So that's another guy that might be able to help if he's improved in that area, like he says he wants to. And
you know what I want
to
see out of Michael Qualls? I don't want him to dribble. There's no reason he needs to dribble more than two times ever in a row. No, I mean, Michael Qualls is athletic enough. He can two dribbles from half court, he could dunk it. I'm not even lying. He doesn't have, and that's the thing that it sort of sends the wrong message to a lot of kids. They think being a point guard is dribble, 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 dribble. That isn't it. Being a point guard is a guy who can get people where they need to be, make sure that guys are balanced, the timing is there on plays. Coach Anderson's offense, when there was some glimpses of it in the past few years, but you can watch his Missouri teams when they were rolling. You didn't know who was the point guard. You didn't know, because offensively it was just such a beautiful system. Guys were cutting, guys were setting screens, and that's essentially how he wants it. Now, when you do get a great PG, like a Phil Pressey, guys like that, boy, they can do things that nobody else can, and we've seen, like Trey Burke from Michigan a couple years ago. You give that kid the ball, and he's going to get you something somehow.
The thing about Qualls for me is, though, freakish athlete, certainly off the charts, I mean, as far as his gifts. But he's a guy that's going to project as a two, right? I mean, he's not going to play at the three in the NBA if he has any designs on playing professionally.
Right, two.
He's going to have to develop more of the two-guard skills, and a lot of it is we talked about court awareness and sort of the basketball IQ stuff.
That is with him.
He's shown streaks where he can shoot it pretty well.
He can knock it down. He can hit an open shot.
Yeah.
He really can.
But
it's
I want to see him play. Yeah, I want him to see. Because that's, I mean, look, to me, that is that not the premier position in the NBA?
Yeah, those he would have to be a two guard, and he's going to be matching up against Dwayne Wade, Kobe Bryant, James Harden. How are you if you need your Klay Thompson, averaging almost 30 right now? But what those guys do, you're right, and this is frustrating, and it happens to a lot of guys. They're pump faking when they should be shooting, and they're trying to attack the basket.
Hello?
In the wrong times. Yeah, we can hear you, buddy. Robbie?
Hello?
Hi, Robbie.
Yeah,
Robbie's not reading the defense.
Go on.
It's about reading the defense, and you've seen it. So many guys don't understand because they've already predetermined what they're going to do. I mean, how many times do you see a guy who's already...
Quarterbacks do that a lot.
Yeah, they already have in their mind, I'm going to come off this screen and I'm going to attack or I'm going to shoot. And you can't do that. I mean, the best of the best, they all physically are like Michael Qualls. They're all like Michael Qualls. But they have, combined with that, the understanding of the game. And, you know, who's to say if that light ever comes on? You know, we talk about it so often where you see these athletes, and it's painful when they're, like, at the end of their career or later when their career is over and they've never had any kind of professional career, that the light bulb goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have that vision. That's the most important thing, is teaching guys. And that's why you got to teach reactions in situations, as opposed to, you know, when I would train a kid, anybody can sit there and learn how to pump fake, one dribble, shoot out of a book. But if you don't teach situations and when to use it and how to use it, then it's all for none.
Well, Arkansas tonight and then again next Thursday. And unfortunately for us, we're going to be sort of, I guess, mixing and matching, because we'll have the Brett Bielema show followed by exhibition basketball next Thursday. But anyway, it's
a lot going on, buddy.
It's about here. It's about here. Robbie, appreciate the time. Sorry about the little mix-up there, but have a good weekend.
No problem.
Enjoy your final off football weekend for a few weeks. It's going to be a big final finish.
Tell your mom we said hello.
Or so we hope. Yes, tell your mother.
No doubt.
Dress her up warmly. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy. It's Robbie Nyswanger of the Arkansas News Bureau. Hey, Will. Will?
Yeah.
Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, I was wondering, the recruits that we got this past recruiting class, is any of them, do you think, going to get any playing time with Moses Kingsley and down there with Bobby Portis? Trying to see if they have actually somebody to back them up instead of having them both start at the same time, or do you actually think they both will be on the court at the same time this year?
Well, we had Trey Thompson come in, new kid, he looks good, by the way. I didn't see a lot of him in high school, but he looks really. He dropped about 30 pounds, and he's never going to be an athlete like Moses Kingsley. But the kid is good. I'm telling you, he's got good hands, good feet. He's got good instincts. So do I think he's going to challenge Kingsley or Portis? No, not now, not this year.
What's Bab? Is Bab going to play any?
Bab is he'll play, but I think he's coming along, you know, just sort of the transition. He's in the transition because the speed of the game. When you go to high school to college and college to professionally, it's the speed of each level that
really
Miles? Got to adjust to.
What's his role?
Miles is going to be a banger, man. He didn't play last Sunday. He looked like he had some kind of an injury, but he's, you know, 6'7" guy, active defensively, finish around the rim. Unless he comes out and really surprises a lot of people, you're probably going to see him as, you know, a guy that can give you, you know, I don't know how many minutes, but he could give you tough rebounds, finish in the lane, get on the break, run. He'll be a good piece. He'll be a good piece for Coach A.
There you go. Will, anything else?
Will Qualls, is he probably going to be at the two guard or the three guard? Because somebody had told me that we were supposed to be getting a transfer from a JUCO college. He had to sit out last year. Supposedly supposed to be playing this year. Supposed to be a very talented high scoring shooter.
Miles is the kid that was waiting his
opportunity. Now we got Dusty Hannes as a talented shooter, but he's not playing this year, and he'll be 2-3 wing guy. Yeah. And most guys now either.
Well, he's a two. I mean, he's a
wing or. I mean, you could play him at three in college, though. He's a big, you know. You go Dusty Hannes, Antlon Bell, Anton Beard. So,
well, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'm excited, man.
Yeah.